What a day it has been, let me tell you. We had 28 salvations so far in the first two services. It's been amazing. God moved, and I believe He's going to do the same thing in this service. All you have to do is you just have to open your heart and just accept Him. That's it. Just say, God, speak to me today. Tell God you want to leave here different, better than when you came. You want this Christmas to be the best Christmas that you've ever had. Amen? We're in a series called O Come, O You Stressful. If you're like me, you know that Christmas season is kind of stressful. I don't even know how many people I've talked to who said, I can't wait for Christmas to be over. I felt that too. But that just means that we're not doing it right. How many of you have ever said, I wish my birthday was over? That means you don't know how to party. Invite some friends, some church people. You know, do it. Invite somebody and have fun. Because the birth of Jesus is supposed to be a joyous celebration full of love and peace. Did you know that God wants you to be joyful this Christmas more than you were last Christmas? And next year, if we live, more than this Christmas. God wants us to be full of joy. And today I want to talk to you about how not to miss Christmas. How do you not miss Christmas? If you know me, many of you know that I'm a workaholic. I love to work. I blame it on my mom, okay? And here's why. Because in my home, when I was growing up as a child, if you didn't do anything, you were like sinning. Like my mom would always be, why are you guys sitting watching TV? Get up and do something. What? Something. How many of you had a mother like that? Thank you for your honesty. And if you grew up like that, you would think, and I hated it. Guys, honestly, I hated it. I used to be like, when I grow up, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to watch TV after work and that's it. But that's not what happened. I started working and working and working, and we got married with my beautiful wife, and I continued to work because I found joy and pleasure in work, and the paycheck was good too, you know. And we didn't take vacation for 8 years. I was burned out. I was snapping at people. I was stressed out. Christmas was no fun. My birthday was no fun. Most people say, I can't wait for the weekend. My motto was, I can't wait for the week. I don't know what to do with myself on a weekday. Ever been there? Not there yet? You're still fine then. So finally, after 8 years, we decided to take vacation. We didn't have a lot of money, so we put two little kids, Alex and Abby, into our car and drove to Florida. 28 hours. 28 hours. It wasn't fun. By the time we got there, I was pulling my hair out. I was just stressed out to the max. And you would think that now that we made it to Florida, we were on the beach, I would just let go and just enjoy life, right? That's what normal people would do. Not me. I didn't put my phone away. I answered all my phone calls. I worried if somebody didn't call me. I was wondering what's happening to my house, to my church, to my business. I was just stressing out, and before I knew, six days has passed by, and my vacation ended after 6 days, and I was still stressed and worried, and me and my wife were not talking, and we were angry at each other, we were snapping at the kids. I didn't take full advantage of my vacation. And I think when it comes to Christmas, many of us, we don't take full advantage of what Christmas should be like. Vacations are not supposed to be more stressful. They're supposed to be a soothing thing for your mind, for your body, for your soul. You're supposed to relax, chill, and come refreshed and restored. That's not what happened to me. I came stressed back, angry, and back to the same cycle. How do we live a life in such a way where we don't miss life's greatest moments? Because that moment I want to forget. How do we live life in such a way where we don't miss the birth of Jesus, the birthday of Jesus this year? See, a lot of us, the world makes us live like movie Click. Have any of you ever seen the movie Click with Adam Sandler? Right? He gets this magical remote control and he forwards his life. And before he knows it, he's on the, in doctor's bed, laying in hospital with a heart that's defaulted. And he doesn't know what happened. And he could never get those years back. You know, after this Christmas, you will never get it back. This is one of the greatest moments that God has blessed us with, but we will never get it back. And so today my message is, how do we not miss Christmas? How do we take advantage of Christmas? How do we use or take Christmas to the fullest? I want to enjoy my Christmas to the fullest, just like I want to enjoy my vacation to the fullest. Don't you? I don't want to live on autopilot. I don't want to live having the greatest moments of my life pass me by. And so today I want to give you three things that ruin Christmas. And are you ready for them? If you're writing them down, number one, it's busyness. Number two, it's religion. And number three is fear. Busyness, religion, and fear will ruin your Christmas. And I think God wants His children to enjoy Christmas. Let's look at busyness. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in the strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Focus on that last phrase, because there was no lodging available for them. I imagine when she gave birth to Jesus, it was in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, what's so special about Bethlehem? Absolutely nothing. Bethlehem was a town of about 400 people in Jesus' days. It was the town about 5 miles south of a capital, Jerusalem. And really, it wasn't known for anything, except that there was a prophecy, about 700, maybe 500-year-old prophecy that was spoken about Bethlehem, that out of Bethlehem was supposed to come that Messiah. So this hotel owner, there was no room for them at the inn, right? There was a hotel owner there. If you live in a town small like Bethlehem, how many of you heard of, let's say in South Dakota, Hudson, South Dakota? Okay, yeah, that's kind of like Bethlehem. How many of you heard Fairview? Yeah, it was like, that was like Bethlehem. Nobody really knew where, you know, they kind of knew it, but nobody, it was a city you passed by to go to Jerusalem. However, this city had a promise. The city had a promise from God that out of Bethlehem was supposed to rise the Messiah. The man Israel, the person Israel was waiting for. Now, you would imagine, you would think that if Bethlehem inn owner was a businessman, which he was, you would think that he would be thinking, how do I use that to my advantage? You know, business people always look for a way to market their product. He had a hotel, motel, whatever, an inn. He could have marketed. But he was so busy that when a young lady who was pregnant came to his hotel, he didn't have a second thought. You would think that he would maybe even do a half off special for pregnant women. Like, if you're pregnant, come on in. We'll do half off for you, because you never know. Maybe the Son of God, the Messiah, will be born. Imagine the marketing. Imagine the advertisement, the PR he could have used. I'm thinking like a business person now. But Son of God was born in this room. His inn would never have to market again. They would be full for 2,000 years, because they would have to build on. I guarantee you that they would have to build on to their hotel, because their hotel would be the most famous hotel in the world. They probably would have franchises like Hilton. They would have like Bethlehem, New York. Bethlehem, LA. Bethlehem, San Antonio. I don't know. But because he was so busy, when Jesus Christ came knocking on his door, when the most important person in human history, God, came down and was born. Notice, there will never be another one like him. There was never one before, and there will never be one like him after. When he came knocking at the door, he was too busy. Oh, only if he knew, I bet you he would give his own room to this child. And I imagine today when we would have went to Bethlehem to visit, I was in Bethlehem in 99, and there was a church where Jesus was born right now, but no hotel. And I'm like, hotel would have been better. Because here's why. I didn't want to go to church in Bethlehem. But anyway, hotel would have been better because imagine if he was a smart businessman, he would have left the room where Jesus was born untouched. Right? Am I still thinking like a businessman? He would have sold t-shirts. I was in Bethlehem and there was a picture of a child in a manger. Imagine the mugs, the coffee mugs that people would be drinking from Bethlehem Inn, where Jesus was born in a manger. Well, it wouldn't be in a manger because it'd probably be some kind of a crib. Maybe I like manger better, okay? But he missed it because he was too busy. He missed it, and we miss Jesus because we focus on all the busyness in the world and we miss the real reason for the season, and that's Jesus Christ. And here's why we don't enjoy Christmas to the fullest, because we are too busy. We're too busy. Reason number two why we miss Christmas is because of religion. Let's open Matthew 2, I believe, 1. It says this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, again, in Judea, during the reign of King Herod. So Herod is the king at that time. He's in Jerusalem, of course. About that same time, wise men come from the eastern lands, arrived in Jerusalem asking, next verse, thank you. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was, say it, disturbed. Christmas disturbs some people. For some people, it's joy. For some people, it disturbs them. King Herod was deeply disturbed. And when a king is disturbed, so was everyone in Jerusalem. I'm going to talk about that in point number three. He called a meeting of the leading priests. Notice he gets the leading priests. These are not just some schmucks. These are leading priests, okay? And teachers of the religious law, and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Okay, I want to focus here on the word Messiah. Notice what he calls him. He calls him a Messiah. Why does that matter? Why? What does that have to do with anything? Well, it does. It shows that the king is, he knows who this is. The magnitude of who this person is. He is the Messiah. You got to understand that Israelites have been waiting for this Messiah. And now, at least there's a claim made that there is this Messiah who has been born. Where is he supposed to be born? 5. Next verse. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. O you Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you're not least among the rulers of cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. When King Herod called upon religious leaders to inquire the information, notice, they knew immediately. They didn't have to go and search for the information. They knew immediately where the king of the Jews was supposed to be born. And you would think, because they knew that information, that prophecy, 1,000 of them got up immediately and said, nope, wise men, you're not going to be the first one to see this Messiah. We are going to. So they got a whole bunch of presents and ran to meet this Messiah, right? No. This is the craziest thing. I remember when my brother and his wife, they got pregnant, right? And for 9 months, we were waiting for a baby. And finally, I get a text. We just had a baby. We're like, we're coming. What room are you in? And he's like, no, not yet. Let's wait. Give her some rest. We're like, no, no rest. We want to see our little niece. Wouldn't you? How is it? It boggles my mind. It makes me frustrated with these religious people. How is it that you're waiting for Messiah for 700 years? You're studying about him. You're debating about him. You're trading ideas about him. And here you hear that he has come and you have no curiosity, no desire, no wonder, no any spirit of explorer to come and see this child. They stayed back in Jerusalem. Well, how far was Bethlehem from Jerusalem? 5 miles. That's like from here to Walmart on East 10th Street. 5 miles. Well, that's kind of far, Pastor. No, it's not. Plus, they probably had donkeys and carriages and horses and camels. Just get on your quick camel and run. In an hour, you'll be in Bethlehem. What are you doing? Where is your sense of wonder? Where is your sense of duty? You're the religious leaders. Where is your curiosity? Where is your exploring spirit? But here's what I realized about being religious. Religious people had the knowledge. They had all the knowledge because they were students of prophecies, but they had no desire to see the King to be born. Are you the one that has all the knowledge about Christmas, but you have lost your sense of wonder? And today you're sitting here, I've heard that story so many times, Pastor. Just get over with it. I want to go and eat. Where is your sense of wonder? See, my prayer for you today that you would leave here knowing Jesus just a little more than when you came in. But you have to wonder. You have to be like those curious wise men who said, we're going to leave everything behind us. Possibly as far as India or China. They came from that far. And they said, we're going to leave our kingdoms. We're going to leave our homes. And we're going to take a dangerous road for months and go and see this King. Where is your sense of wonder? Here's a nation that's been waiting for the Messiah. They hear he's born and they turn their back on him. That's what religion does. Religion has all the knowledge, but does not want to know the person. Religion would rather debate about, and I'm still amazed by people who say, well, nobody knows when Christmas really was. Is it December 25th, January 7th, like the Orthodox or Catholics, you know, and they debate about these things. Or is it sometimes in August? People debate about Jesus, but when it comes to knowing Jesus, they want nothing to do with him. And if that's you, you're just religious. And that's why Christmas doesn't excite you. And no wonder you want to have it be over with. Question, why weren't they interested? Why aren't some people interested today? Number one, because the birth of Christ was not according to their plans. See, I think these Jewish leaders, religious leaders, what they did was they came up with a picture of what they thought Jesus or the Messiah coming would be like. I imagine it's like from a movie Thor. You know, the clouds begin to turn. And lightning and thunder starts. And everybody starts going down. What's happening? Is this the end of the world? And suddenly the skies rip apart. And this guy comes with a hammer. Oops, sorry, wrong story. Forget about that. A guy comes on a white horse with a sword. And he comes to the religious people and he says, can I have the keys to the kingdom, please? And they're like, we have to test you first to see, make sure you're the right guy, right? They had thoughts of Jesus. And here Jesus comes, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, creator of them. And he comes in a lowly to a virgin teenage girl who's not even married. Jesus, you messed up our plans. How many of you know God will mess up your plans? That's why when you make a plan, you got to have a margin for God. You know, somebody said, I don't know who said that, but they said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't make plans, but that means we should leave him room. God, I'm making this plan, but there's room. If you want to change my plan, you have the right to override my plan because you know better. Amen. You know better. And here Christ came knocking at their door. And they had no desire to go see him 5 miles away. Listen to me. No wonder he didn't come to them, because they didn't have margin in their minds, in their theology for him. They would have rejected him even if he did came to them, because they forgot that there's a proverb Jesus told. Remember, he said a king had a vineyard. He gave it to the people to manage it. Then he sent a servant to go and check on the vineyard, and they killed him. Then he sent his son, saying maybe they will be ashamed of killing him, and they took him and killed him too. That's what, the religious people took over the religion thinking they are gods now on earth. They forgot that God was still their boss. And so here a boss comes in, and they're like, we don't want him. We got this. It's like a pastor. It's like a pastor who would take the church and start pastoring and says, God, I don't need you anymore. I got this. I can preach good. We have a good band. We have good kids ministry. We don't need you anymore. Hold on. You have a higher boss. This is not your people. This is his people. Amen. And that's what Jews ultimately did. They just rejected him because they had it. We got it, God. We don't need you anymore. They don't need you anymore. Here's the problem with religious people, is that they know everything. They don't do anything. Here could be yours or mine problem. We can know the Bible in and out, but if we don't do something about it, it's not going to change your life, because knowledge puffs up. Knowledge will puff you up, but it won't change your life, and you're still as angry and bitter as ever before. One thing I notice in this is that wise men and Pharisees were both students of prophecy, right? Wise men and Pharisees and these religious leaders were both students of prophecy. Here is the difference. When wise men saw the prophecy being fulfilled, they acted on it. When religious people saw the prophecy being fulfilled, they said, don't bother us. You're inconveniencing us. We want to continue to debate this. We don't need you. We like debating. See, wise men, even today, act on what they have learned or what they know. Religious people just talk about what they know. Wise men act on what they know. Religious people just study more. Never doing. And so Bible says they always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. If you're a religious person, you will miss Jesus, the greatest person in the world. Religious people knew a lot about Jesus, but they were not interested in meeting Jesus. It's like you can know a lot about a president. If you're Obama, if you like Obama, you can know a lot about Obama. Study everything about him, his birthday, when he was born, United States or not. Kidding. Kidding. You can know a lot about Obama or Trump. But here he's standing in front of you and you're like, no, I'm just going to go study some more. What? It's like Mary and Martha. Remember, Jesus comes to their home. And Martha's like, instead of, hey, let me get to know you. Let me get to know you. She cooks. Maybe you have a mom like that or dad like that. Every time you come to their house, they just work. And you're like, I'm here. Let's talk. Yeah. I want to know you. And I feel like that's what Jesus is saying to us today through his spirit. He's saying, I'm here. Stop worrying about all the presents and Santa and Elf on a Shelf and Snowman and Olaf and all the and Santa Claus. Stop worrying about all that. Stop worrying about the Christmas presents, food and all that stuff. I am here. Get to know me. Religious people knew a lot about Jesus, but they were not interested in Jesus. See, knowing a lot about Jesus won't change your life. It will keep you the same. It's actually meeting Jesus that will change your life. Don't miss Jesus. And number three is this, fear. Fear will keep you from enjoying Christmas to the fullest. King Herod found out from wise men that a king of the Jews was born. And if you know anything about King Herod, he was a paranoid guy, right? He was super paranoid. He actually killed his sons because he thought they would take over his kingdom. He killed his wife and his mother. I mean, the guy was just nuts. But here, so he had problems, emotional, mental problems, right? And here's at this door is knocking, literally at his door, into his palace, knocks Jesus. He has an opportunity to meet the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he gets paranoid. He gets very disturbed, Bible says, right? Do you get disturbed by Jesus? Why was Herod so disturbed? Well, if you're a king, you probably would know, but it's probably because he thought this Jesus, new king, will take away my power, and I like my power. He will take away my fun, and I like my fun. He will take away my money, and I like my money. He will take away my glory, and I love my glory. But what he didn't realize, and see, that's what many of us say. If I gave my life completely to Jesus, he'll take away my fun, my money. He'll make me change a political party. You can laugh. It's okay. It was funny, I thought. He will take away my freedom, and I'll be like one of those Bible thumpers on TV. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus did not come for Herod's kingdom. He did not come for your fun. If only Herod knew that Jesus didn't come for his kingdom, for his power, for his freedom. Besides, Herod's kingdom was too small. Jesus is the king of the world, not some little plot, 70 by 120, that's ruled by Romans. Herod wasn't really a king there. The Romans were ruling, not Herod. If only Herod would recognize that Jesus Christ did not come to take his stuff. He came to give him something, mainly himself. He came to give his heart what his heart has been longing for, and it's joy and peace and eternal life. Amen. Jesus didn't come to your life. Some people say, if I give my life to Jesus, it will be boring. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The only way you can live your life to the fullest is when Jesus is in your heart. Amen. Nothing else will give you life, and more abundantly life, than Jesus being in your heart. Amen. You can clap that for that. God didn't come to Herod to take his throne. God came to Herod to give him fullness of life. God didn't come to you to take your money. He came to put himself in you so you can have an energy that created the universe living in your heart, called his spirit. The spirit that was hovering above the water and created everything. That's the kind of spirit that wants to live inside of your heart. All you have to do is just open it to him. Saint Irenaeus said this, "The glory of God is man fully alive." The glory of God is man fully alive. Jesus Christ says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life to the fullest. Why aren't you experiencing life to the fullest? Because you're too busy, you're too religious, and you're full of fear. Why aren't we experiencing Christmas like it's supposed to be experienced? Too busy, too religious, and full of fear. Made a commitment to God a long time ago. God, if I'm going to serve you, I'm going to jump all in. I'm going to dive all in. If I'm not going to serve you, I'm not going to serve you at all. But if I'm going to serve you, I want to do it to the fullest. And that's the only type of heart that God comes in and changes and fills with his spirit. So Pastor, how do I enjoy Christmas to the fullest? Seek Jesus to the fullest. Don't miss Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Come to Jesus. Get to know Jesus and follow Jesus. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe that guy Jesus. Yeah, I believe. That's not enough. He says, follow me. He says, follow me. Don't just know me. Don't just believe. Follow. Demons believe in Jesus too. They believe he's real and tremble, Bible says. But they're not getting eternal life. Why Jesus? Because every religion ultimately preaches one thing. For example, in every religion there's a prophet or a sage who comes in and preaches Here's the way. Here's what you need to do to get to eternal life, right? You do this, this, this. Don't do that, that, and that. This is how you get to God. Christianity is different. Jesus says, I came so to tell you, stop doing. Because whatever you do will never be enough. Stop doing. Whatever you're doing will never be enough. All of our righteousness as dirty rags. He says, come to me. He says, let me come into your heart. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Every religion says, let me show you the way. Jesus said, I am the way. When you have me, you have eternal life. When you have Jesus, when you know him, when you're following, you have eternal life. Christianity is only religion. Says, stop doing. Just come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened and stressed out and anxious, and I will give you rest. Now, if Jesus is a man, then he's crazy. Crazy, egomaniac, a fool. But if he is God, then there is no other way but him. And today I know he's God because he came into my heart and he has changed my life. I know he came to many of your hearts and he's working right now, changing it. He's not done yet. The work that he begun, he's working on it. Jesus is not a sage or a prophet who's pointing to God. He is God who came and gave himself to us. To know Jesus is to have eternal life. And I'm going to finish with this verse. John, 1 John 5 says this. Whoever has Jesus has life. See, we're like, if I do more, then I'll have life. No, no, no. This is the work of God, Jesus said, that you would believe. That's it. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son, which is Jesus, does not have life. Verse 13, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus, so that you may know you have eternal life. That's why I've been yelling to you for the last 30 minutes, 40, okay. That if you have Jesus, you have life, eternal life in you. And if you have Jesus, you don't die. You just transition from this country to the next one. From the physical to spiritual. That's it. Do you have Jesus today? If you're watching us online today, do you have Jesus in you? If you don't, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to open your heart and say, Jesus, come in. I want every one of you, would you close your eyes and bow your head for me? Everybody, don't move. Nobody moves. Just I want to ask you, is he in your heart? Is he a part of your life? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus? I'm going to count to three. And on a count of three, if you want to surrender and say, God, I want to follow you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Come into my mind, my soul. Come into me. On a count of three, would you raise your hand? See, some of you are like, I'm not worthy. I need to do good works. No, hold on. Didn't you hear that Jesus said, stop doing, start believing. And when you believe, then you can do what I tell you to do. But for now, the first step is first step. Stop doing, start believing. And so if you want to give your life to God today, I want to count to three. And on a count of three, would you raise your hand and raise it high? This might be the opportunity of a lifetime. You might never get this opportunity again. Today is your day. Herod had one opportunity. He wasted it. Religious people had an opportunity. They wasted it. The Bethlehem Inn owner had an opportunity and he was too busy for it. Today you have an opportunity. This Jesus is standing close to you. He's so close to you, he's whispering. He's saying, let me in. Let me in. Let me in. Because you can only have life to the fullest if you have me in it. On a count of three, if that's you, raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three. Raise your hand and raise it high. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Thank you. Go ahead, put them down. Go ahead and put them down. Is there one more? If you're watching us online right now, I want to talk to you. I want to tell you this applies to you as well. Spirit has no boundaries. So right where you are, just say, God, I open my heart to you. Come on in. Let us know by writing in the comment section below where you're watching. Just tell us, I let God in my heart. I didn't let him pass me by. Now, everybody here and those who are watching online and those who will hear this message in later months and years, pray with me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to follow you. I really mean it this time. You're the Lord of my life. You're my creator and you're my king. And now you're also my older brother. Come on, say it. And now you're my brother. I'm saved. Come on, make a declaration. I'm forgiven. And I'm a child of God because of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Now come on and celebrate those who gave their life to Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.